The recent confirmation hearings in Washington, D.C., and the issues raised in the letters written from the former nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Carlo Vigano, regarding misconduct on the part of the hierarchy of the Church are just two examples of the ongoing tensions that exist in our society. Now, some forms of tension can be damaging and do harm if one is exposed to it over a long period of time. But other forms of tension can be healthy and necessary, such as the tension generated by our efforts to live up to certain ideals and values. We could eliminate this form by watering down our ideals, compromising, and settling for less, but this is the path that leads to a feel-good religion and ultimately ends up in confusion and disaster. As followers of Jesus Christ, our values and ideals are shaped by the message of Jesus in our Gospels and is taught by His Church. It is both demanding and consoling. Our Lord calls on each of us to be as generous, as compassionate, and as loving as Himself. But our Lord does not leave this up to our own resources in the living out of His teachings. He gives us the gift of His Holy Spirit, whose power at work within us can do immeasurably more than we ask or can imagine. Even with this gift, we are all too well aware of our failure to live the life that Jesus calls us to, or the gap between the person we're called to be and the person we are. Now, this creates a tension in us, but it is a tension linked closely to those challenging words of Jesus: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, it will never be easy to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There are two examples from our gospel this morning which make this very clear. Our passage is from St. Mark, and Jesus presents his ideal, that is, God's ideal for marriage between a man and a woman. Now, his teaching went against the grain in the Jewish world of his time. Notice that the only issue of debate among the religious leaders was the grounds for divorce. One school of rabbis favored very lenient grounds, the other insisted on something far stricter. But Jesus' teaching was to remind the men of their obligation to love their wives as they would their own body, a radical teaching at the time. It was in stark contrast to the view that a wife was almost seen as a property to be disposed of whenever it suited the husband. And Jesus reminds them of God's original intention as expressed in the book of Genesis, where husband and wife are to become one body, one living union. We know this to be a message all too well attacked, dismissed, and ridiculed today. Yet what Jesus speaks is truth, and you and I must be committed to the truth in all matters. As in Jesus' words regarding children, in the end of our gospel passage, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. We tend to regard childhood as something we must grow out of, leave completely behind, as if there was nothing in it worth keeping. But we have to be clear and distinguish between childlike and childish. Being childish implies immaturity, throwing tantrums, being irresponsible, behavior that we should grow out of, although we see it encouraged, as was on some college campuses where students were giving coloring books, Play-Doh, bubbles, and puppies to pet to deal with the stress of the election results of 2016. But children are not angels. It is our duty to lead them out of themselves to a greater possibility, because the child's world is of itself narrow, subjective, and often selfish. But childlike implies qualities such as openness, receptivity, playfulness, curiosity, sense of wonder, the ability to live in the present moment. There is a wealth of sympathy and kindness and generosity hidden in the soul of each child. Unfortunately, what tends to happen is we lose some of the best qualities and keep some of the worst. What often leaves us with the loss of our youth? the sense of wonder and happiness and enjoyment out of the simplest of things. Children put us in touch with the gentler and more innocent part of ourselves that we may have discarded in the struggles or the tensions of life. But Jesus says we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we receive it like a child. The kingdom is a gift. Children are more suitable for the kingdom because they know how to receive a gift. Which leads to our Eucharist this morning, the white mass, a reference to the lab coats many physicians and those in the medical profession wear. And this gathering, this white mass, is celebrated as close to the feast of St. Luke, October 18th, as possible. St. Luke, the patron saint of physicians, because St. Paul describes in his letter to the Corinthians, Colossians chapter 4, Luke, the beloved physician. It is believed that Luke was a Greek, a Gentile, the only non-Jew of the four gospel writers, and the patron saint of artists, no doubt because he had the skilled hands and eyes of a surgeon. St. Luke recounts six of Jesus' healings, and it is interesting, like the other three evangelists, more emphasis is placed on the faith of the one healed than the act of healing itself. Those present here, whether from the Catholic Medical Association or, as we have, Father Jose Hernandez, the chaplain of Sacred Heart Medical Center, and those in the nursing and other medical profession, your presence here this morning allows me to thank each of you as you work day in and day out with people of all ages who suffer from various illnesses and health issues, and you realize with that childlike appreciation that you have that life is a gift from God. Your dedication and belief that yours is a sacred vocation gives evidence to the reality that we are all stewards of that gift of life. And it is our Catholic faith, in the midst of increasing hostility and tension towards life, that teaches us that only God can create and sustain life. 4 you today, as members of the healthcare community, my brothers and sisters, I humbly remind you of the role that you play in building up and caring for God's people. As physicians, as nurses, as those in the medical profession, it is important that you yourself continue to grow in respect for human life as God created and designed it. I ask that you continue to promote a deep respect, not simply for the science behind human life, but also the will of the Creator in terms of our approach to human life. As Catholic healthcare providers, you must always keep in mind that human beings are composed of both body and soul. Human beings are not simply masses of tissue thrown together and operate on a certain chemical reactions, but are the loving creation of a God who calls us into life as a unique person, endowed with body and his own life-giving breath and spirit, who gives each of us a purpose and a vocation in life. Again, we know that we live in a society that is enamored with its own knowledge and abilities that have come from the advances in technology. But our approach in this age of explosion of information must be always prudent and cautious. The danger is that we become so engrossed in our own ability that we lose sight of the one who holds all creation together by his will and his love. And it's easy to lose sight of this loving God who created us and designed the world and its wonders and invites us to share in this magnificent work. Again, for those of you in the healthcare profession, vocation, the Lord invites you to help care for his people and to use your knowledge and skill to assist the human person when they grow ill or weak. The Lord asks each of you to see your role as helping the human body, the temple of the Holy Spirit, to carry out its proper functions and to use the great intelligence he's given to each of you to heal and assist the body when it fails to function as God intends. In doing, it is also important to keep in mind that human life is not the ultimate goal and good. No, as Christians, we know clearly that human life is terminal. We know through God's revelation that the goal of all life is union with Him for all eternity and in the kingdom of heaven. I ask that you continue to approach your work with the deepest respect for what God has done, and that you cultivate a deep relationship with the Lord through prayer and through the Eucharist, as much as asked of you, in addition to your family obligations and the many gifts that the Lord asks you to share. Last month, we had Archbishop Charles Chaput from the Archdiocese of Philadelphia speak. But in one of his talks earlier, as a courageous bishop of the church here in the United States, in his appreciation of the work of doctors and all in the medical profession, he said these encouraging words. Your vocation of healing comes from Jesus Christ Himself. I don't mean just curing people's aches and pains, although physical healing is so very important. I mean the kind of healing that comes when a suffering person is understood and loved, and knows that he or she is understood and loved. That requires a different kind of medicine, the medicine of patience, the medicine of listening, the medicine of respect. I thank all of you for your presence here to join this parish community. Please know you are in my prayers, and that in this time of increased tension and hostility, you may and all of us may persevere with a childlike faith in the commitment to see all life as God's gift.